Mr. Bohart and members of the board, I come to you today because I haven't really spoken out regarding HB 1903, and I would like the opportunity to do so. I've got about 3 points that I would like to make, and I'd also like to discuss a little bit of some approach that I feel in regard to 1903 that we may need to make. Last night, I did go home and watch the hearings on the floor on the Appropriations Committee. I also watched from Brian the hearing that took place last week. I do believe it was a mistake that I was not there at the hearing because it had the appearance that I was probably in support of the bill. I should have been there at the hearing. And I will tell you what I would have testified to and how I would have testified had I been able to testify. I would have testified that I was against 1903 as it is written because it would, in looking at Blinn as an institution, it would have severely hampered Blinn's ability to do what Blinn needs to do. And the decisions really need to be made on a local basis. They do not need to be made at the legislative level. And that would have been my approach with Representative Rainey in answering the questions. I also believe that we needed to understand and be able to report what the impact would be, because institutions of higher learning do not turn on a dime. It's something that takes deliberation, it takes strategic looking at our programs, and I'm speaking extemporaneously, so I have not really put together notes to really talk about this. And so if we were to say that we were in total support of 1903, we would have to make changes that would occur by the fall of this year, which are impossible to do. It would mean severely limiting what Blinn is as an institution. And without Brenham, Blinn is not the institution that it is. So I do not want there to be a perception that I am in favor of 1903. So I come here to tell you that I would have spoken out against 1903. I would also say to you that watching the testimony last night with Representative Schubert, that he was put in an almost impossible situation. Having been there less than 28 days, he was asked to pull a rider, which, if you understand the legislature, and because what I did at the Greater Houston Partnership was work with 60 CEOs and doing state and federal policy. And I had to know how every one of those 60 CEOs felt about every resolution that we put forward, because I was the front facing for what was happening with those bills that were going forward. This was in 2002 when we were really debating school finance at the public school level. And so it was my job, just like it has been Kathy's job, to do this. I will tell you that I think that you have a great administrative team. They have done a marvelous job at trying to protect their staff so that the business of the college can continue, because the business of the college is what we do. It is those students that come to class every day that is the business of the college, and this administrative team has given lifeblood. They've given up spring breaks. They've worked long hours putting together numbers over and over again. So, Dr. Guzman, I appreciate you raising issues that we have needed to discuss for a long time. It was hard testimony that you went through, and for that, I thank you for taking that blow for us last week. I do believe that, and also that I should have been there to help support this effort. Finally, in talking about what happened last night, in the vote, it was 130 to table the vote, which means, in essence, the vote, the rider remains in place on the appropriations bill. The rider would not have gotten added to the appropriations bill had Representative Rainey not had support from the chair, John Otto, and the vice chair, Ashby. I believe that to be true. And in the questions that were asked of Representative Schubert, he had no documentation, anything to support anything when he was asked questions. And so in every instance, he had to respond, yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. Yes, unfortunately, that happened. because he'd been there less than 28 days and we had not helped him have the information that he needed to be able to counteract what was being asked of him. There was also one member from the Higher Education Committee that asked if Blinn College had provided the information that had been given at the hearing, that had been asked for at the hearing last week, and the answer was no. And the answer is a very truthful answer. We had not been, because the meeting was scheduled for today. So therefore, in looking at that, nothing was untruthful about what occurred, but it was a very difficult process. And when the modifications that I believe you suggested early on were the modifications that I think probably could have been lived with, something transpired, and it was, I think, the tone and tenor of the hearing that actually caused that to transpire. I will say that I also believe that it is a cumulative effect of us not providing information in a timely manner, and also putting ourselves in a situation where it appears as though we are keeping information away from the public. And I think it's important for us to be transparent. So this is where I come to say that I have a philosophical difference in approach, because whether you believe the bill is going to get out of committee, and I'll tell you what I think is going to happen with the committee hearing, and I'll tell you why I think it's going to happen with the committee hearing. I believe that you make as many efforts as you can to find middle ground, because even if it goes south, there may be something that we need from Representative Rainey in the future. We also have $100,000 that he is scheduled to help us get for reinstatement of funds with the museum. That's very critical for us to have. I believe that those are the kinds of things that you work toward, not against. I also believe that the divide that has existed between Brenham and Brian has to stop. Somehow we have to bring the institution together, because it isn't about, if we had to make a quick judgment, and I know we've used athletics as the whipping boy for what would have to be cut, but athletics is literally what the kids come and they watch. If we need to cut expenses, we cut expenses, but it doesn't happen at just one campus. We look at all campuses and how we do it, and we strategically do this such that we make the efforts to make the institution whole. The institution desperately needs to be whole. It needs to have consistency, it needs to have stability, and it needs to have the kind of leadership that will pull it forward, because we've got bigger challenges. If we lose the battle, we may lose the war. And we can't lose the war, because we are threatened by much larger institutions that have many more resources than we do. So philosophically, I believe that you work toward a middle ground, and then if it doesn't go through, then everybody can save face and we're all winners in the deal. Finally, when the action was taken last night, there were 130 to table it, there were 14 against, there were two present not voting, and there were four absent. 130 is a lot of friends. 14 is not very many friends. And there was one gentleman that testified that he believed that this was not good policy. And so therefore he would be voting against the rider being on the appropriations bill. In looking at the committee members of the Higher Education Committee, I do believe that it will come out of committee, and that is simply because what you had in the second half of the hearing were those members that were engaged. I think it will come out in a 6-7 vote to 2 or 3. I believe Representative Crownover will vote against it for reasons that are personal to her. I believe Representative Clarity will vote against it because in doing research, he is opposed to policy changes. He believes it ought to be local control. I believe that the other representatives, and it's very telling to understand how committees work. When they are there, they are, that is an indicator of their support. Representative Crownover came in and she checked in and she left. Representative Clary never came back. He was absent. So in looking at it, I believe that those others were engaged in what was happening. And so I do believe that it will come out of committee. But there are still a lot of places that it can be modified. It can be modified from the floor of the House. It can be withdrawn in very different places. But I think it is incumbent upon us to ask that and to go to get that changed. So I felt like that it was necessary for me to speak, for you to hear how I felt about 1903. I would like to be engaged in the discussions about this because I want to help. And so at that, I will take any questions from you. Yes, sir.
What you say has a lot of truth, no doubt. You keep talking about middle ground. Seemingly, we've made an effort to for that middle ground, but it's not met with any acceptance from what I understand. I mean, do you disagree with that? Do you feel that we haven't tried to come up with
someone? No, I think what you did in the request in early morning was middle ground. I really do. And that's why I say that the hearing itself caused a emotional reaction, not what I would call a reaction based on fact. And so I believe that I would go back with a plan that says this is what would happen in year one, this is what would happen in year two, this is what would happen in year three. So one of the numbers that he quoted last night as I was listening was, if I recall correctly, something like 78% revenue, 58% expense in Bryan, 42% expense in Brenham, Schulenburg, and Seeley, and 22% revenue. Now, I don't know where he got those numbers because I don't believe those numbers are anything that we provided, but I suspect that from the breakout numbers that and from that there was some way that he came up with percentages. And so what I would say is in year one, our goal, looking at the whole of the institution, not just one campus, but the whole of the institution, it's very important to for us to say we're going to raise revenue. And it doesn't mean, you know, there's a multitude of ways that you can do that. We're going to increase revenue from that 22% to 25%. We're going to lower expenses from 42% to 39%, so that you actually say we've got a plan as to what we're going to do and how we're going to get there. One of the things that I think is a real bright spot is that we have 398 students that have signed up for the Engineering Academy. That is a change. That's a critical difference that will show a difference in enrollment. Now, we're going to have issues about how we serve them with the facilities that we have and where we put them, because recognizing, I will tell you that Dr. Brick is not overly happy with me because we're teaching chemistry for engineers at Bryan, because that's all we have. We're all of those engineers that are coming, that's what we have. So that's what we're going to see, is that displaces other students. That's what's going to happen to some degree in Brenham, is that those 398, some part of them, and I don't know that 398 will come, but I think that, you know, on the first day of April, for us to have that much interest in it is significant. Now, we're going to need to meet their needs in math and science and dormitories, and they need something to do. And that's why I speak in terms of what athletics needs to be, because Dennis and I've talked at length. That's what the kids go and do. They go and they fill the gym. So to take a broad sweeping approach and say we cut that out is not looking at the long term about how we need to fix the institution. So I do think the door is still open, but I also think that it takes calm, rational, not heated testimony to get to that point.
And the door's open for how long? What's the time frame?
Well, the door's open until it goes on calendars.
Which will be...
Well, it will be a while. It'll be a little while. But what they're doing right now is that the committees are meeting very fast. They're pushing bills through, and that's their role, is to get them out and get them, you know, once it gets out of the House, if it gets out of the House, because there's a question as to whether or not it'll get out of the House. The indicator to me was that there was 130 that tabled it. So there's 130 friends somewhere that we don't know. And nor can we actually effectively do that. We can't depend on TAC to do that. We have to do the work to actually make this happen. So that's the situation that you face in the House. Then you've got the Senate side of it, and there are some strong political issues in the Senate, and because the senator that represents our district, both Senator Kohlhorst and Senator Schwertner are chair and vice chair of the Health and Human Services Committee. So they work closely together, and yet there are some political issues that have to be addressed in that area. So, and whether or not then it becomes an issue of whether it gets on the calendar and gets voted on and passed. So at any time in that process, it can actually be pulled, literally pulled, or it can be negotiated in terms of a friendly amendment that changes the language.